comes from that cardio-based, HIIT-based training style. And when they come and listen to me about all of the amazing benefits that come with strength training, all of a sudden the question is, whoa, how am I going to essentially swap this over without getting fat? Now, and that's just plain old what people think is going to happen. No sugarcoating over here.
And that's because in the past, any time someone has stopped their cardio, what has happened?
They have.
They've gained back fat that they've just lost. Now, super quick, do you want to run over what cardio is? Because I think that's an important one, because I think that there's a misconception, you know, in a lot of, say, classes, like studio classes, that someone is not doing cardio and they're doing something else instead. So do you want to quickly bump over what is and is not cardio?
Absolutely. It's probably a lot more training fits into the cardio category than you might actually think. So anything that is really intended to get your heart rate up. So if you are doing a class that is called maybe strength, or, you know,
sculpt.
Yeah, right. Like any of these words that imply that you're probably going to get toned or grow muscle, right? If you think about that and then you put it into a class atmosphere and you're finding that you are just like punching out those reps, your heart rate's up, you might be using lighter weight, you might be doing star jumps, but you've got weight in your hands, right? You're like, well, hang on a minute, I'm using weight. So isn't that strength? No, that's essentially just cardio with weights. So most of your group fitness classes that have got time-based movements, and what I mean by that, you might be doing 35 seconds of work followed by 15 or 20 seconds of rest. That's nowhere near long enough rest to make it a proper strength session. So I really want you to keep that in mind. When we're talking about strength, I want you guys to picture, and this is probably like the other end of the scale, but I feel like this really helps paint a picture, but picture what Arnold Schwarzenegger would be doing in the gym, right? Old Arnie, he's there, he's, you know, doing barbell back squats or leg press, right? And he's resting for maybe a minute or 2 minutes in between, and he's doing straight sets. He's not doing a circuit. So what I mean by straight sets, and a lot of people don't actually understand this, is he might be doing 3 sets of barbell back squats, 8 to 12 reps, resting in between, and then moving on to the next exercise. So a lot of people that are doing circuits where you might do squats, and then you're going to do shoulder press, and then you're going to do deadlifts, or, you know, and you're moving from one station to the next, it's time-based and you've got time-based rest, that's most likely going to be more cardio-based than anywhere near what strength looks like.
I would go out on a limb and say if there's two categories. There's lifting weights and everything else is cardio.
Well, exactly.
Now, there's going to be some exceptions, of course.
Yeah.
But even if you think about CrossFit, even CrossFit, for the most part, a lot of those movements will fall into the cardio category. And the reason for that is the energy system that you're using. Now, I have done CrossFit, and I know that there's a lot of nuances and variables. So, for example, at the start of the class, you might work on skills. And so you might do literally barbell back squat, you know, and just work on technique, which I know sounds crazy in CrossFit. But that, yeah, of course, that's lifting weights. That's resistance training. That's strength training. However, then when you progress from that part of the workout and you start doing, you know, something for time, so we might be doing a circuit or MRAP or any of that stuff, that's going to fall under cardio. Now, one more thing that falls under cardio endurance, that a lot of people might not realize, is 99% of your HIIT classes as well.
Yeah, and I mean, the HIIT classes, and something that's really important to know about those HIIT classes, is that there is a HIIT, and a HIIT that what's labeled HIIT, and then there's like true HIIT, and they're two very, very different things. So it's something that's really marketable. You know, there was like a study that came out that HIIT actually burns more calories the rest of the day, you know, if you do it first thing in the morning. And when they actually got down to the nuts and bolts of it, if the person had a calorie controlled diet, it was like 4 calories or something. Do you know what? Like it was just, it was like splitting hairs.
The afterburn. afterburn.
The afterburn, right? But what we find is that people that do a lot of HIIT actually, and particularly when they don't track their food or the calories aren't accounted for, they actually tend to eat more the rest of the day. So that's, you know, HIIT is very different to what is marketed to in a group class environment. That's generally, it's not HIIT, right? Honestly, it's more just, it's just endurance. It's 45 minutes or 35 minutes of essentially just endurance. Your heart rate stays up and it's up for the whole time. And then, you know, you go back again tomorrow. But tomorrow is strength and you're really doing the same thing, but the difference is you've got weights in your hands this time.
Yeah. And whether you should choose, you know, lifting weights or doing a type of cardio will really depend on your goal.
Yeah.
So often you'll hear us, and you might even feel like maybe we trash cardio, which we don't. We do use cardio in certain circumstances. But the majority of people that come to us are here for fat loss. Most of them have spent a good part of their life jumping from one diet to the next to the next. And cardio being catabolic, meaning you will lose muscle if you do a cardio movement, as opposed to lifting weights, which is anabolic, which means you will grow muscle. It is a really... it's not an ideal way to lose fats in the longer term. And so that's why when we choose, okay, do we program cardio? Do we program lifting weights? If the goal is that you want to run a marathon, then you're probably going to need quite a bit of cardio endurance. And so that's where you would train cardio. Or if that's, you know, if there's a goal over there, if the goal is fat loss, if the goal is to get toned, if the goal is muscle growth, if the goal is to speed up metabolism, if the goal is, you know, even longevity, joint health, bone health, you know, being able to put a vase in a top shelf when you get older, all these kinds of things, being able to pick up the grocery bags, you know, then lifting weights would be a better model for those outcomes. So if you are moving from doing 5 or 6 cardio classes in a week and you're going to move to do, say, 3 weightlifting workouts, what do you do? What's going to happen? I'm going to gain weight. I'm going to get all this body fat. What do I do?
Well, first of all, you're going to be scared out of your absolute brain because you have absolutely no idea what the result is going to be, right? You really have to put your trust in me and be like, all right, okay, I'm just following your process, Ash. I'm just doing the 3 Train With Ash workouts. This is what we're doing. I'm scared, but I'm doing it anyway. Okay, so that's step one. Step two is, for the vast majority of people, switching over from doing those, say, 5 cardio-based sessions a week over to the 3 strength-based is probably going to have this really beautiful transition over, and nothing, you're not going to really notice anything immediate in terms of gaining body fat. You probably won't even notice it at all. What you'll start to see is that your strength starts to increase really quickly because you discover these newbie gains, essentially, because you've probably never trained in that really traditional weightlifting way before, and nothing will happen. Everything will be all sunshine and lollipops. You know, you're not going to gain any body fat. You'll feel amazing. You're going to have all of this energy. You're going to realize that you can eat more food. It's just going to be the time of your life, right?
Because when it comes to burning calories in the cardio class, it told me I burnt 900 calories today. But doesn't that mean, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's a lie. Don't listen to or read, because it doesn't speak to you, doesn't tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you burnt 900 calories today. No, don't look at your watch and think that it's any
accuracy.
There's any accuracy at all, right? There's no accuracy. Like, it's been, they've done studies on all of the watches that track your calories burn, your heart rate monitors, the MyZone, the Lionhearts, you know, the Garmins, all of that. None of the calories burned that it shows you is correct. And you could literally put, say, 5. I've done this before. I didn't have 5. I had 2. I had a MyZone and my Garmin heart rate monitor, and I wore them both. And there was like a 400 calorie difference. It was ridiculous.
So what you do is you throw away the one that gave you the low calories, yeah, and you keep the one that told you that you burnt more.
Exactly. Because that's what we're all after, right? No. So don't be chasing that. If you have a smartwatch and you use it for exercise, use it for the steps. Like, tracking your steps gives you a really good indication of your movement, but don't be using it for the calories burned and trying to eat them back, because it's just, you're going to end up in a whirlwind of problems that way.
All right, so we have two options.
Yeah.
Option number one, which you were just going through, is a lot of people will literally just be able to swap this for that.
Yeah.
A very good chunk of people will literally be able to stop doing their five or six cardio classes and transition just to three weightlifting classes. And because you're not really actually burning all that many calories during the exercise itself, once you start lifting weights, you'll start building muscle. The metabolism will start speeding up and any excess calories will get used for muscle growth and metabolism building anyway. Or as your metabolism's speeding up, it'll capture them anyway, right?
Absolutely. So when you start lifting weights, your body actually gets a muscle building signal, a really strong signal to say that that's important to you. Like, I'm talking layman's terms so that you guys can properly understand, but essentially your body is receiving a message that says, hey, muscle is important. This is where we want to prioritize resources to keep this muscle or to build this muscle to help recover. And then your body will automatically start that process up. As a result of that, you will essentially start to burn more calories because your body's putting resources into an area that it really hasn't needed, you know. I'm trying to layman's terms this. Do you know what I mean? Your body,
exactly. Yeah.
You're essentially getting resources sent to building muscle now.
Mm. So that's one
which
option.
Which has not been a priority. Yes.
What would be the second option? Let's say, Ash, I know that you're saying that, but I'm just super worried. My name's Nelly. And
what's
actually,
Nelly?
Nervous Nelly.
Nervous Nelly.
Nelly's the second name. And I know that you're saying that I can do that, but is there anything I could do, any precautious steps that I could take just to be really erring on the side of caution? Just because the last thing that I want to see is that scale number move up, and I just really want to do anything I can just to help prevent that.
Yes.
What do we do for Nelly?
For Nelly, Nervous Nelly, if you are Nervous Nelly, right, and you're like, oh, I just don't know, what you can do is, let's say you're doing five of your cardio sessions a week or your HIIT classes, whatever it was. Now you're doing three strength training sessions. Replace the time spent in those cardio classes that you're doing that you are no longer doing, right? So there's two left over that you've got to replace. Replace the time spent by walking. So if you were doing 45-minute classes and you're now doing, you know, three 45-minute strength training sessions a week, those additional two 45-minute sessions that you're kind of down on, replace that with a walk. Your morning walk, so good for your mental health. Your, you know, energy expenditure is happening there, and you'll see some really, really amazing like recovery benefits. And it'll be great for your mental health because, you know, Nervous Nelly, she's going to be like, all right, cool. I'm, you know, moving my body five times a week and it's my morning coffee. And guys, I get it. I've been there. I've done that.
Most people find like the recovery that they get. So many people will be scared shitless because every time they stop cardio, they gained scale weight. And that's because, you know, they probably stopped their shred or their diet or whatever new thing that they were on. Once you get like a month into lifting weights and like a new way of life, and you notice that, hey, I haven't got fat. Yeah. This is really weird. Last time I took a month off cardio, you know, I gained 10 kilos back. Then you'll start to get more and more faith in the process. So let's say Nervous Nelly does that. She spends a month and she's like, you know what? I'm doing 5 days a week. I'm doing three lifting weights and I've got my two sessions that I am, you know, walking for 45 minutes. Are there any options, you know, to start to cut down on the walking? Is there anything that I can do just to be able to maybe get those back to, you know, do I have to do the walking? I should have done what you said at the start. I should have just cancelled them, but I didn't. Now what do? Do I have to walk forever?
No, you don't. You can start to reduce your steps. So this is kind of like, we actually use this method in our programs of increasing steps, and then there might be a time where we start to decrease steps. So if you're wanting to transition from like, oh shit, I started doing 20,000 steps a day, whatever, and we want to transition and back off that because it's hard to maintain. Generally speaking, we do 1,000 step decrease on average per day. So let's just say, you know, on average, you were doing 10,000 steps a day on average, right? We work off averages over the course of a week. We're going to, on average, now do 9,000 steps a day, Okay. And we're going to do that for, generally speaking, 1 to 2 weeks. Make sure that you're doing your waist measurement and your weight on a, your weight is daily, waist measurement weekly. And so long as your waist measurement has remained unchanged or at least hasn't gone up and weight is quite stable within 500 grams, then I would be decreasing again to 1,000 steps until you get to like decreasing by 1,000 steps until you get to a point where you're like, okay, cool, this happens really naturally, quite effortless for me, and it feels really good and it fits my lifestyle. And then, yeah, like for us, for example, we generally don't do purposeful walks, but we'd on average do about, you know, 7,000 steps a day. Just like, you know, guys, we live in a caravan and that just happens naturally.
Me chasing you around the caravan.
Like, yeah, legitimately all day I'm running away from Brad. Like that, you know, if you are somebody that's up and down, you know, even if you're at work in an office, like, you know, we work not in a traditional office, but inside a caravan, it's like 3 steps to the back of the caravan and, you know, that can be accumulated. So, yeah.
Okay. That's it.
That's it, guys. Nice short one today. If you don't already follow me on Instagram, make sure you head over to Ash_Lane. If you don't already follow Brad, follow him at Train with Brad. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.